welcome to everyone tonight, and I see some guests this evening. We're so glad to have you with us tonight. Thank you for being here. We don't have vegetables, live vegetables in service every service, and we don't have all those things, so a little bit of a different night, but we're glad to have you, and we know that God's bigger than any of our stuff, so amen. If you're watching us online, we welcome you as a part of this service tonight, wherever you're joining us from. I'm gonna let you go ahead and be seated. I read a bunch of verses this morning, and in our licensed minister session this afternoon, I read a whole chapter, and I'm going to read most of a chapter here, so I'll let you just go ahead and be seated. Acts chapter 5, I'm going to begin reading with verse number 16, Acts 5 and 16. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation. They were filled with indignation because people are getting healed. Preached about Paul this morning, and it wasn't the sinner, it wasn't the heathen that was after Paul, that was persecuting Paul. It was the church, if you will. And here it says it's the high priest, the Sadducees. It's the religious people that are rising up against these believers that are seeing miracles and seeing people delivered from unclean spirits. And verse number 18 says, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keeper standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they said, sure, yeah, whatever. They doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. And he said unto them, "You men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest haply you be found even to fight against God. If this is just a man-made thing, leave it alone. And like all these other things, it'll fade away and it'll all come to nothing. And if it happens to be a God thing and you're messing with these men, then you're now messing with God, so why don't you just leave it all alone?" And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, not just scolded them, they've thrown them into prison already. They got out of prison and immediately did what they were told not to do. So this time, they now command them again not to speak in the name of Jesus, but they add a beating to it. And they departed from the presence of the... Listen, this point I'm about to make is not the message tonight. But I'm just telling you, I'm embarrassed sometimes when I think about the things I've griped and complained over, and one day I'm going to stand in eternity next to these people. The stuff that goes wrong in my life that I ask God to change or fix, and He doesn't change or fix it, and I start griping and complaining, and I'm going to stand in eternity next to people who were commanded not to preach in His name, and then they were beaten. They had already been imprisoned. They're now beaten. And look at what they do. They departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. They didn't leave there griping and complaining about the fact that, look, here we are just trying to obey God and do the will of God, and look what it got us. Look where we've ended up because of that. The Bible says they left and they rejoiced because they were considered worthy to suffer for His name. And then verse 42 says, "Daily in the temple and in every house they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." Now I'm going to tell you something. If you have a clue about where I'm going, you are so in the Holy Ghost. Because most of you ain't got no clue about where I'm going. You think I'm about to challenge you to be ready to suffer persecution? Wrong answer. I want you to notice the opposition they faced. They're thrown into prison, commanded to not continue doing what it is they're doing. An angel miraculously leads them out of prison, and they go straight back to what it was they were told not to do. Now they gather them together again and forbid them again to preach and speak in His name, except now this time they beat them. I don't know. I haven't really dug into it. I think there's a chance they may have beaten them with 39 stripes because that was kind of custom. I'm pretty sure it's safe to say they didn't just walk away from that beating feeling great. I would suspect there's a good chance they walked away from that hobbling along, wincing with every step, wincing as their clothes would touch those open wounds. And yet they still went from that and rejoiced, first of all, that they were considered worthy to suffer. And then immediately disregard the commands to cease. And they go right back to doing the same thing. They banded together in spite of the persecution, in spite of imprisonment, and in spite of beatings. They agreed together. You know what? We can't stop. Maybe they kind of felt like Zechariah, wasn't it? Zechariah. Our flesh don't want to speak anymore. But it was like a fire shut up in our bones, and we just couldn't contain it. Jeremiah, thank you. Literal persecution, physical persecution, did not disrupt them in the least. It did not intimidate them the slightest bit. In essence, it was like they were saying, just bring it on. Just bring it on. Well, we're not stopping. Let the outside say and do what they want to say and do. Threaten us to whatever degree you want to threaten us. But we made up our minds. We know who Jesus is. We believe who He is. And we won't stop. We can't stop. We won't stop till the whole world knows you're a great God, great God. Whoa, whoa. Man, y'all are tough, tough, tough. That's Acts. That's Acts 5. They withstand this onslaught of persecution, and it doesn't even slow them down. They don't even pause. They just keep right going. Thank you that we're worthy to suffer for your name, and let's go back to the temple, and let's start preaching. Let's start talking about Jesus. None of that stopped them. But look at Acts chapter 6 and verse 1. I'm going to read this in the Living Bible first. Now don't forget that, you know, the original Bible's not broken up into chapter verses and chapters and books and all. It's a great help to have chapters and verses and all that for our reference, but sometimes we forget, especially when you go from one chapter to the next, you kind of think of that in the context of sort of a book, and this is like a new start. It's a new thought, and sometimes there's thoughts that are broken up by a new chapter that are... So we go from prison, beating, rejoicing, daily in the temple and in every house, not ceasing to teach and preach Jesus Christ, not the slightest bit distracted, not the slightest bit slowed down by any of that, but Acts 6 and 1. But with the believers multiplying rapidly, there were rumblings of discontent. Not worried about persecution. We're not worried about jail and beatings. But the very next chapter, we find something going on. There's rumblings of discontent. The Living Bible makes it really plain. What were these rumblings? What was the issue that was going on? Those who spoke only Greek complained that their widows were being discriminated against, that they were not being given as much food in the daily distribution as the widows who spoke Hebrew. We can withstand prison. We can deal with being threatened. We can deal with being beaten and continue preaching. Because that's without. What slowed them down was not what came from without. What became an issue to them is what happened within. The Message Bible says it like this: during this time, as the disciples were increasing in numbers by leaps and bounds, in spite of persecution, were increasing in numbers by leaps and bounds, hard feelings developed among the Greek-speaking believers, the Hellenists, toward the Hebrew-speaking believers, because their widows were being discriminated against in the daily food lines. Throw us in prison, and the moment we get out, we're going to keep doing the same thing we did. Beat us. And we're going to rejoice because we're worthy to suffer for His name and keep doing the same thing. But let some people start squabbling inside. And all of a sudden, they got to get all the apostles together. We're not trying to figure out how do we deal with imprisonment and beatings. We plow right through that. But we got some people griping and complaining because one group's getting more food than the other. I heard a story a couple of days ago, and retelling it, so I may not get every detail exactly right, but years ago, I think several decades ago, There was a church, and I believe, as it was told, somewhere in the South, there was a church that there was a church split, and there was this battle that occurred over which part of the church split was going to get the building and the property. And so it actually went to court. I mean, it went to regular court to try to settle this issue, and then the court sent it back to the denomination for them to settle in with their procedures and processes. And so when it went back to the denomination and their boards and whatever to handle, as they begin to investigate, and this is supposed to be a true story, not one of these made up things that go around on social media. They got to investigating, and the root cause of the issue, Brother Barr, that led them to this extent was they had a church dinner, and one of the elders saw one of the kids get more food given to him than the elder. And as a result of that, I've heard of church splits over doctrinal issues. I've heard of church splits over some major issues. Not saying that the major issue makes it right, but I've heard of some things that would be a little more understandable, but over somebody got a little more ham than somebody else. Hear me tonight, please. I've not come to preach this message. I don't feel led to preach this message tonight because I know of or I think we have issues or problems going on. But I've come with a challenge to this congregation tonight that it will not be what is without that will stop the church. And I don't think it will be what's without that will stop any congregation. If it's to be stopped, or if it's to be slowed down, if it's to be infected at all, the thing that will affect it will be what comes from within. They could overcome the persecution in chapter 5, but the issue of who was getting more food than somebody else caused them to have to stop and figure some things out. First Corinthians 1 and 10 says this. Paul says, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you may be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you. Boy, that had to hurt. I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name. And I baptized also the house of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. There may have been some people in that group that Paul actually baptized. And they probably have been bragging about the fact that Paul baptized them. And Paul said, I don't even remember if I baptized any of you others. Well, that makes you feel real good, doesn't it? Paul says, is Christ divided? What is this that you're of this person and you're of that person? And is Christ divided? I'm going to go ahead and say this one. I really didn't plan to, but I'm going to say it again. We're in election year, folks. And the language of this world should never supersede the language of the church. The language of division and strife and contention that goes on in the world with politics should not get in amongst the body of believers. I was thinking this morning the number of times in preaching that I've referenced artificial fruit. And I thought, it would be a really sad thing if we go through this month with all of these things available, and I never reference. So here I am. Didn't plan to do it. I see no flaws on this orange. That is the orangiest orange I have ever seen. Man, these are some great looking peaches. Wonderful looking peaches. Man, there's no worm marks. Blemishes. Thank you. It looks perfect. You like peaches? You love peaches? I love peaches too, man. Help yourself. Have at it. The problem with what looks perfect and what has no flaws is it also has no nourishment. Chances are, stop by Safeway after service and try to find the perfect piece of real fruit. You will not find it. You're going to find some kind of blemish on it. Why is it that somehow we are attracted to a blemish-free church? Or that we let the enemy convince us that if you're in a church that has blemishes, you need to leave and go find another one, because surely the church ought to be perfect. I got this revelation a couple of years back, and it's been one of the most helpful to me in pastoring. If the Apostle Paul couldn't make a church perfect, you know, some of the stuff Paul addressed, if it happened in church today, national news would be in the parking lot to report it. Thank God. I know we got the little kids up here tonight, but thank God I've never had to take a stand about relations between parents and children. You ever read some of Paul's writing? Well, this church got some flaws. It sure does. Sure does. This next part's probably not God. It's probably me, so I will acknowledge that. As long as you're here, it's going to have flaws. As long as I'm here, it's going to have flaws. How can you have a perfect church when you have imperfect people? There's only one that's perfect. I don't say that to justify or condone any faults or failures. I'm just saying, if you're looking for something that's perfect, it probably is not real. Truth of the matter is, we went to lunch with a couple today and needed to have an interaction with them. And in the course of that, she was basically making the point. If there's any place in the world, and I'm paraphrasing some, but if there's any place in the world imperfect people ought to feel safe, it's in the church. And hear me out now. Hear me out. If there's any place in the world people should be accepted or loved, let me rephrase that. If there's any place in the world people should be loved, no matter what their lifestyle is. Why is, I don't know if it's the videos and the announcements or what it is, but it's tight in here tonight. Oh, by the way, my wife made a great point. If you want to order one of the things off of my, I got to say it while I'm thinking of it. If you want to order one of the things for the Mother's Day gifts with the links that are on Realm, you could just have it sent to the church, and then you don't have to try to come by. It was free. It was squirrel. I think I saw the table back there, and it reminded me. Back to the point. Anybody, no matter what the lifestyle, should be loved by the church. And I did rephrase it, because it doesn't mean we accept what you're doing is okay. But if there's any place you ought to be able to be loved as you are, until Jesus does something to change and work in your life, it ought to be here. Ephesians 4, verse 1 from the Amplified says this: I, therefore, the prisoner for the Lord, appeal to and beg you to walk, to lead a life worthy of the divine calling to which you have been called, with behavior that is a credit to the summons to God's service. Living as becomes you, with complete lowliness of mind, humility and meekness, unselfishness, gentleness, mildness, with patience, bearing with one another and making allowances because you love one another. Be eager and strive earnestly to guard and keep the harmony and oneness of and produce by the Spirit in the binding power of peace. It's a sad thing when we are dealing with autoimmune issues in the body of Christ. If the natural illustrates the spiritual, then just like there are autoimmune diseases naturally, where the body can attack itself. There are autoimmune diseases in the body of Christ where the church, if it's not careful, starts attacking the church. Paul said we are to strive. I believe it's this verse in the King James. He says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. The Passion Translation says it this way, verse 1. As a prisoner of the Lord, I plead with you to walk holy in a way that is suitable to your high rank, given to you in your divine calling. With tender humility and quiet patience, always demonstrate gentleness and generous love toward one another. And I love the Passion Translation on this next part. Especially to those who may try your patience. Please don't read. Most of the time I want you to raise your hand. I want you to respond. But do me a favor, don't respond on this one. But is there anybody here tonight can say that there's some people in this room that try your patience? They try your patience. You see them coming down the same aisle, and somehow you suddenly feel the need to go down the other aisle. With tender humility and quiet patience, always demonstrate gentleness and generous love toward one another, especially those who may try your patience. Paul is talking to believers about believers. He's not talking about sinners. He's not talking about Christians with regards to sinners. I just can't stand the way they do that. I just can't stand the way she does this or the way. Paul says, especially those who try your patience. Watch this. Be faithful to guard the sweet harmony of the Holy Spirit among you in the bonds of peace. Being one body and one spirit, as you were all called into the same glorious hope of divine destiny. Man, how quick we are when we let our flesh go to jump into conversations, criticizing and backbiting. We will talk to everyone about the problem we have with someone except the person we have the problem with. Oh, hallelujah. This will help you grow. You may not, this is like, you know, this is like, I don't know, what's something you need to eat that tastes bad? I don't know. Striving, working to protect harmony and unity. Not getting involved in what causes discord. I'm going to say it again. I mean it. I mean it sincerely. There's times in the past where I preached on unity and felt to preach on unity because I felt like we had disunity. I really don't feel that. In fact, there's some amazing things that God is doing right now. If you saw, hopefully you saw in Realm this past week, and 23 people, we have 5 Bible studies going on in residences that are helping people overcome addictions and stuff. 5 Bible studies, 23 people in that's not the teachers, that's the attendees. 23 people in Bible studies, and one of them that got the Holy Ghost this morning, and there's other. I think his name was Lamont, right? Was his name? I met Lamont this morning, and I got Lamont's story. He's been here, been to service Sunday mornings 2 times now, but a couple of weeks ago, It was really neat to hear, because I was making the point in the message this morning that God can use our circumstances, that even when we don't realize it, He can be using our circumstances to bring about His will and His plan in our lives. And so several weeks ago, Lamont on Google found an ad for a job offering with Brother J.R. Sowers. He didn't know Brother J.R., never met him, had no idea. But he makes a call about a job, and next thing you know, he ends up down here from Essex getting baptized in Jesus' name. And now a couple of weeks later, he stood there this morning with such a genuine sincerity, expressing his appreciation and gratitude for what he's experienced. This is not about me. This is about Jesus. But I don't remember exactly the way he put it. But he's like, it's only been two times, but every time you speak, there's just something real about it. It just hits home. So there's great stuff happening. I said this to the licensed ministers. We have a monthly meeting that was this afternoon. I said this to them today. Every Monday morning, it doesn't matter if she's sick, if she's on vacation, if she's got work. It doesn't matter. Every Monday morning, Sister Tiffany Spriggs faithfully sends an email to several of us with all of the guests from services and a little bit of a blurb about them, who they are. And I noticed something the other day as I was reading her report. She was referencing several people that had been baptized and received the Holy Ghost. And that email made the point that those people had been baptized and received the Holy Ghost some point during the week. It wasn't just at a service. Now, the scripture says in Acts, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And I don't think we're at daily yet, but it does something good for me when I see that on a Tuesday somebody got baptized in Jesus' name. On a Friday, somebody got baptized and got the Holy Ghost. That's a really good sign. So again, hear me tonight. The heart behind, the passion behind this message tonight is not trying to deal with a problem or an issue that we have. It's to recognize the fact that if the early church can deal with all that persecution and just keep going ahead, but all of a sudden some internal stuff. Well, I don't like this. Well, I don't like that. I don't think we should do it this way. I don't think we should do it that way. Then talk to Him. Talk to Him. I heard this story the other day. I need to, if I'm going to tell these stories, I need to listen to them better. Oh well, I'm 52. That doesn't really have anything to do with it, but it just sounds like my good excuse these days. I believe it was a concert pianist they were talking to. And he said, if you've got 100 pianos and you start to tune those pianos, if you tune the first one, or if you tune the second one to the first one, and then you tune the third one to the second one, and then you tune the 50th one to the 49th one, and then if you tune the 100th one to the 99th one, that's not going to be in tune with the first one. For it to be in tune, you got to tune number 2 to number 1, number 10 to number 1, number 35 to number 1. You need to be careful when you start getting in tune with something that does not originate from this book, that does not originate from the Word of God. You might be getting in tune with something that is actually out of tune. I've said a few things lately to try to just give you a little bit of an idea of how I think, how I feel, how I operate in this role of pastor. And I'll just tell you another one I hear from so many different, even whether it's amongst apostolics or outside of the apostolic faith, all of these things about what we're supposed to do, how we're supposed to do it, what we're not supposed to do, how we're not supposed to do it. And sometimes I'm like, God, I have no idea. So here's the only thing I know to do. God, let's get one thing straight. My desire is to do what you want us to do. I can't keep up with everybody else. I can't keep up with everybody else's opinions and ideas. So can I just assure you of one thing tonight? Whatever we're doing or whatever we're not doing, it's because to the best of my ability, I'm trying to find out, God, what do you want us to do? And if that fits with what somebody else is doing, so be it. And if that doesn't fit with what somebody else is doing, so be it. There is one voice that I want to be tuned to. Colossians 3 verse 12, the Passion Translation. You are always and dearly loved by God. So robe yourself with virtues of God, since you have been divinely chosen to be holy. Be merciful as you endeavor to understand others. Wow. Wow. Do you know how many things would change in relationships that we're involved in if we would work on that one thing alone? Endeavor to understand others. Rather than just jumping to conclusions on why someone said something or why they said something the way they said something, to strive to understand what's going on. What's? You ever heard somebody say something or seen somebody do something and you thought, man, that's not them. That's just out of character for them. That just doesn't seem like them. Strive to understand. Be compassionate, showing kindness toward all. Be gentle and humble, unoffendable in your patience with others. Ooh, ooh, unoffendable. Can you imagine how amazing it would be, Brother Tommy, if we became unoffendable? Offendable. Wow. Do what you want to do to me. Say what you want to say. Treat me how you want to treat me. If I could just be unoffendable. That's impossible, right? I guess so, except the psalmist said, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Be unoffendable. Where'd it go? I can't find it up there. Ah, be gentle and humble. I think the first time I said humble, that's my dad coming out. So now let me get the Brother Whaley part out. Humble. Unoffendable in your patience with others. Tolerate the weaknesses of those where? In the workplace, the sinner on the street. We're all good with that. We can tolerate them. It says tolerate those in the family of faith, forgiving one another in the same way you have been graciously forgiven by Jesus Christ. If you find fault with someone, release this same gift of forgiveness to them. Tolerate the weaknesses of those in the family of faith. Again, that's not meaning condone or approve, but love, care for, forgiving one another in the same way you have been graciously forgiven by Jesus Christ. If you find fault with someone, release this same gift of forgiveness to them. For love is supreme and must flow through each of these virtues. Love becomes the mark of true maturity. Your doctrinal knowledge is not the mark of your maturity. Your deep theological understanding is not the mark. Your gift of praying intercessory prayer is not the mark of your maturity. Your worship and your praise is not the mark of your maturity, but love becomes the mark of true maturity. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, that you have love one for another. The Living Bible says, verse 14, this way, most of all, let love guide your life. For then the whole church will stay together in perfect harmony. If we can love one another, then the stuff that is without is not going to stop us. But then there will be nothing that can rise from within that can stop us. As I was studying for this message, I think it might be the King James of one of those verses I just read in Colossians. I don't know, maybe somebody can help me out. But the way the King James says as much as possible, I think is the way it says it. As much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men. That part, as much as lieth within you, just kind of caught my attention. Because it was almost like Paul was saying, you need to live peaceably with all men. But I'm just not so sure I can expect that. So here's the qualifier. As much as you can, live peaceably with all men. But you know what I think the context really of that is? It's not about as much as you can tolerate. Live peaceably with all men. It's about the fact that no matter how much you may love somebody, no matter how much you may try to be Christ-like, you cannot control them. You can be the sweetest, most loving person out of the 8 billion in the world, and I promise you somebody's going to think you're unloving. So as much as lieth within, as much as possible, live peaceably with all men. Let love be the guide. We hear it said, we know from Scripture, some form or fashion, some point in time or other, persecution's coming. The church is going to face persecution. I don't believe the church is going to go through tribulation, but persecution and tribulation are not one and the same. The early church was persecuted. That wasn't the tribulation. But I believe that the thing for us to be concerned about is not what may come from around us. I believe, like the apostles did, we can do the same thing. Something rise up inside of us. I tried to be careful. We're online, and who knows who's watching or who will watch. But to my knowledge, the two pastors that participated in the prayer Thursday night, the two apostolic pastors that participated in the prayer Thursday night were not given the option of praying. We were given something to recite. I don't know if anybody thought that out or purposefully did that or not, but it was just kind of interesting to me that the two apostolics participating were not given the freedom to just pray. It was, we want you two to recite this. And I had there was a couple, and it was all in good spirit, good fun. But a couple people kind of egging me on. Pastor, you really going to let them box you in like that? I won't call names. Somebody's like, you just give the signal, Pastor, and I'll start speaking in tongues. You just. See, there's something. There's something when we feel that outside opposition, boy, it's just something right. You ain't going to shut me down. You're not stopping us. Don't tell me we can't gather together and have church. Don't tell me we can't. Don't tell me we got to do this. Don't tell me we got to do that. That's not where the challenge is going to come from. Challenge is going to be if we let stuff get between us. We let issues. Well, how come they always get used? And how come that person always gets? And how come this? And how come that? That's where the trouble comes in. But if we could strive to live peaceably with the family of faith, if we could strive to maintain the unity of the Spirit, then it doesn't matter what comes from without. And by God's grace, nothing is going to come from within. I want you to stand, please. Here's what I want us to do just for a few moments. We may do more than this, but at least for right now, it's just what I feel. Would you just connect with some folks around you if you need to shift a little bit to do that, but join hands, put a hand on a shoulder. But I wonder, could we just join together and here's what I want us to do, rather than each of us just praying for ourselves right now, would you pray for your brother? Would you pray for your sister? Would you pray for your brothers and your sisters? God, help us not to fall prey to the enemy's trap of resisting what comes from without, standing up against the opposition that may come from without, but then letting distractions and things come from within. Father, by your grace tonight, by your grace tonight, help us, Lord. Help us strive in this family of faith that you put us in to be contributors to unity and the strengthening of the bond of peace, rather than allowing ourselves to fall prey to the traps of the enemy to attack, to come against what we ought to be building up. Help us tonight, Lord. Help us tonight. Lord, I pray if there are any divisions amongst us, God, if there are any divisions that you see amongst us, I pray that you would work and move by the power of your Spirit to remove every division, every faction, every fracture that may be, Lord. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Ikaramandaye alabosatalabahaya. Ikaramondo roboshatalabahaya. Do me a favor, if you would. I want you to find a couple of more people now that Now that you've all prayed with the people you know and you're in relationships with, why don't you find somebody that maybe you don't know quite as well, and just for a few moments just gather together and with a couple of people, and let's just pray a few more moments here, Father, that your grace, your strength, your spirit, your power, let it unite us, Lord. Whatever the enemy would try to bring from within to divide us, we trust the power of your Spirit to unify us. In the name of Jesus. 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 Oh God, let the unity of the Spirit be in our midst, Lord. Put within us the desire to endeavor, to strive, to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. In the name of Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. We've been singing a bunch of oldies tonight, so for a moment, why don't you join me in this classic that always seems to fit a service like this. You're my brother, you're my sister, so take me by the hand. Together we will work until He comes. There's no foe that can defeat us if we're walking side by side. As long as there is love, we will stand. You're my brother, you're my sister, so take me by the hand. Together we will work until He comes. There's no foe that can defeat us if we're walking side by side. As long as there is love, we will stand. You're my brother, you're my sister, so take me by the hand. Together we will work until He comes. There's no foe that can defeat us if we're walking side by side. As long as there is love, we will stand. One more time. You're my brother, you're my sister, so take me by the hand. Together we will work until He comes. There's no foe that can defeat us if we're walking side by side. As long as there is love, we will stand. God bless you. Don't forget to be a part of Oikos Night on Thursday night. And if you're not a part of an Oikos, you want to be a part of one, please let us know. Myself, Brother Isaac Middleton, we can help guide you and get you connected. In Jesus' name.